Our text this afternoon comes from Ecclesiastes 4, the first 12 verses, and the main portion of the service to pay attention to is verses 9 through 12. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who were already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again I saw that for all my toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity, grasping for the wind. The fool holds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil, all grasping for the wind. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So far the reading of the word. Sermon is prepared by retired minister of Emmanuel Canadian Reformed Church in Edmonton, Reverend Sloan. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, and that includes you, boys and girls. Recently, I read a study in Psychology Today which concluded that loneliness leads to a wide range of health and social problems. It's such a serious problem that the author suggests that society should look at loneliness in the same way that we look at diseases like high blood pressure or diabetes. The author of the book of Ecclesiastes, also known as the preacher or the teacher, also did a study about loneliness, and he came to some of the same conclusions. For even though he lived 2,500 years ago, the times that the teacher describes are not very different from the times of today. We can very much identify with the lives of the people of that day. There were a lot of lonely people in those days as well. Like us today, the people had to deal with all kinds of different stresses, and for many reasons, they dealt with problems on their own. And that's an age-old problem. Look at the kinds of things that they had to deal with here in chapter 4. The teacher speaks of oppression, that he and others had to suffer at the hands of other people. He speaks about the competitive world in which he lived, a world that was also full of envy and jealousy. In the midst of such a world, the people labored all their lives. But in the end, they found themselves lonely and depressed. That's the kind of world that we live in as well. Let me quote from another article. It says, pensioners are increasingly turning to drink to help cope with loneliness and boredom of retirement. For most people, it's a lonely world. And the problem is only made worse by the fact that nowadays there's high divorce rates. The emphasis is on making sure that you get out of life what you want for yourself. You are number one. Relationships are discarded at will, As soon as one relationship doesn't work for you anymore, well, you go on to the next one. In the end, you end up miserable and alone. The conclusion to the editorial is correct. There's no getting around it. Humans are truly social animals. We need other people. Indeed, the Lord God also created us that way. And that's also clear from the text. Today, we'll see what the teacher has to say. Two are better than one is the theme. For the Lord created us to depend on each other. 3 points for help, for strength, and for comfort. Here's a familiar proverb that states, a friendless man is like a left hand bereft of the right. Can you imagine losing your right hand and having to do everything with your left hand all of a sudden? Especially if you do your work with your hands? That makes things very difficult for you, wouldn't it? Well, says the teacher, the same thing is true of a worker without someone to help him. A lot of jobs you can do on your own. People labor in the building trade know that there are a lot of jobs that you also can't do on your own. You need another person to help you lift things, put them in place, to fetch things while you have your hands full, and also to watch out for you. You need others for safety. You also get a lot more done with someone to help you and to spur you on. When the one is getting tired, the other one can pick up the slack. And when the going gets tough, you don't give in as easily as when you're on your own. You young people also use that concept, don't you? When you have a project to do in school, when you have difficult homework to do, you like to do that with a good friend. If you're serious about getting work done, then with a good friend, you are way more productive. This is especially true within marriage. A good working partnership is essential. There are certain projects that you can't do on your own, that you cannot do on your own. Wallpapering a room in the house, for example. It's a lot more fun to do that together. For a project like that, you need to be a good team. You have to learn to get out of each other's way, to compromise. And so there's no doubt that the teacher's observation that two are better than one because they have a good return for their work, it's a good one. Teacher also gives another example. He says two are better because if one falls down, the other can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Travel in those days was not what it is like today. There were a lot of dangers on the road. Often they had to go through mountain passes with cliffs on either side, or through rough terrain where you could easily stumble and fall into a deep pit. If you're on your own then, travel is much more precarious than when you travel with more than one person. You can look out for each other and lift each other up when you fall. These examples that the teacher gives are not just meant for the worker or for the traveler. That's how it should be in all our activities. God did not create us as separate individuals. He did not make his covenant with this person, with that person, and then with that other person. No. God deals with us as a people in fellowship with each other. That's why he did not deem it good either that man would be alone. He gave him a wife. And you know what he called her? A helper. Adam needed a helper already before the fall into sin. But how much truer that is after the fall into sin. Because now we are prone to stumble and fall all the time. When you are alone, it's hard to see where you're going. You need someone beside you to help you, to guide you in the right way. And it's hard to get up when you stumble and fall. Within a good marriage, you are a hand and a foot to each other. When the one is down, the other can lift him or her up. The people of the world will often kick you when you're down. But at home, with your wife or husband, you can find relief and understanding. Ecclesiastes is not just speaking here about marriage, though. It is true that if you have a good marriage, then your wife or your husband is your best friend. But this applies to everybody. We all need a good friend. This passage also applies to the single people in our midst, to the widows and the widowers. We all need a good friend who will help us up when we are down. Look at how David, in the midst of his trouble with Saul, drew great comfort and strength from Saul's son Jonathan. Jonathan warned David during times of danger. He encouraged him. He helped him wherever he could. Life would have been so much more difficult for David if it hadn't been for Jonathan. The Bible teaches us that the Lord our God is our help. Isn't that what we all personally confessed when we started our worship service? And so that goes without saying as we go through our daily lives. The Lord God is our help in everything. But that doesn't mean that we don't need other people. Of course we do. That's why God created us as a community. He created us to be a part of a church, our church family, and of our immediate family as well. He also created us to be in a relationship with our friends. There are, however, some people who have difficulty making friends. Do you know why that is? Well, there's many reasons. And the reasons are complex. Difficulty sometimes lies with the prospective friends themselves. Not everybody can be your close friend. Some people are just too critical. They're too irritating to be around. Or they don't have the same interests as you. They do things differently, and maybe you just don't click. There are also those who have difficulty keeping things confidential, and so you don't feel safe around them. It could also be that they're too demanding, and that they take advantage of you, and that they talk too much, they don't listen to anything that you have to say. Or it could be that they are gossips, gossiping about other people behind their backs, and you're afraid that they'll do the same to you. It can be hard to be close friends with some people. But if you have no friends at all, then you'd better look at yourself first. Could it be that you're too picky? Are you looking for the wrong things in a friend? Could it be that you're hard to get along with? Are you too demanding, too critical, too selfish to be really close to somebody else? Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, you need others to help you through life. Ministers need the support of their wives and children. They need the help of other ministers and the members of their council. And so it is with everyone. You all need your group of support. You need close friends to help you during times of difficulty. There are times when you fall down, and then you need a good friend to lift you up again. There are a lot of enemies out there, and they're out to make you stumble and fall. The devil sets many traps for you and for me. And we need others to help us to avoid these traps. For you will also find strength in numbers. We come to the second point. The teacher says that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Again, we are brought back to those times that the teacher lived in. When you traveled in those days, you not only have to put up with difficult road conditions, but you also have to deal with robbers and thieves. And so it would be a lot safer to travel with another person. And that's true today as well, isn't it? Especially if you're a woman. It is better not to walk alone at night, particularly in remote or high crime areas. Also, for little children, it is better to travel in pairs and not as easily be preyed upon when you are with another person. There is strength in numbers. In order to make this point further, the teacher says that a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. He uses the number three for poetic reasons. You see, that kind of poetic use is more common in the Proverbs. He does not just refer here to three persons, but what he has in mind here is your entire support system. He says that you will find strength within two people, but even greater strength within three or more. That's also true in our lives. There are different areas in our lives where we need help. At work, you need the help of a friend to take you through the day, to help you be productive and to mentor you, instruct you, encourage you. You also need a support group for other things going on in your life. You need support within your home and outside of your home. We all have various challenges, and the more people you get to help you, the stronger you'll be. There are a lot of loners in the world and also among us. They sit staring at the computer screen or TV screen most of the night and on the weekends. They have no friends to speak of. They don't have a support group. Well, if this is the case for you, and it's hard to do well in life, you need to interact with others. Even if you don't think you need others, which you do, others might need you. The fact of the matter is that no one can do without other people. And that's especially true when you're dealing with difficult things. You can't handle them on your own. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself needed his support group around him. His disciples. Why, you might wonder? He is Almighty God, isn't he? Yes. But he is also a human being. And while he was on earth, he was weak. He took on the weakness of our flesh. Look at how he craved for the companionship of his disciples when he was praying on the Mount of Olives. He needed them to stay awake, to be there for him. He needed them for encouragement and for understanding. Do you know what the greatest punishment was that he received? It was that he was totally abandoned. First of all, by God, who is man's primary and greatest help. And secondly, he was abandoned by all of mankind, including his best friends. And there's no greater punishment than that. The punishment of hell is loneliness. The punishment of hell is that you have no friends. The punishment of hell is that you have no one to help you, that you have no one to sympathize with you, that you have no one to carry you through your difficulties, that nobody cares about you. That congregation is hell. In John 15, verses 14 through 16, the Lord Jesus said to his followers, "You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you, and the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." He chose them as his friends. Although he says that they are his friends if they do what he commands, he knows, however, that they are incapable of doing that. All he wants them to do is try their best to keep his commandments. He knows that we, as weak human beings, have only a very small beginning of the obedience that he requires. There are so many things wrong with us. As a matter of fact, everything is wrong with us. We are corrupt human beings. And yet, he chose us as his friends. He was able to overlook all of our sins and shortcomings and to be kind to us. And now, the Lord Jesus is our friend. Do you want to have a friend to help you through your life? A friend at work, at school, or at play? Then don't be too picky. Be kind. Be compassionate. There are many reasons that people have difficulty relating to others. It can be that they've been hurt in the past because of having been betrayed, or they were abused as children. Those who have been physically or emotionally or sexually abused as children have great difficulty establishing relationships in later life. Try to start a friendship with such people in spite of their behavior. Don't have too high of an opinion about yourself, thinking that others are not good enough for you. Don't be too demanding. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. The teacher speaks about a cord with three strands. One strand on its own is easily broken. But if you have two or more strands, then you are a strong cord or a rope. The more strands that you have, the stronger the rope will be. And then when one strand is broken, the rope is still fairly strong. However, the more strands that are broken, the weaker the cord becomes. It becomes hard to put a rope back together again. Oh, it's true, you can't take each strand and tie the frayed end and cut them and put them back together and thereby make the rope fairly strong again. But it will never be as strong as it was before. And the cord doesn't function as well either. The rope's full of knots. It doesn't slide through your hands like it did before. The same thing is true of friendship. Once you break up a friendship, it's hard to reestablish that relationship. And if you do, there will be scars left. The friendship becomes more difficult. And so, be careful before you break up a friendship. Be careful how you treat your friends. Know how to establish and nurture your friendships. If you want people to be a friend to you, then you must first of all be a friend yourself. Be a friend to those who are down, to those who are weak. Be a friend to those who come to you in your daily life. It's true that you need close friends as well. Someone with whom you can share the same interests. But that doesn't mean that you can't help others as well and defend them when they're under attack. The Lord God created us in fellowship with others. The most important relationships are within your family, and then within your church, and then within the whole church community, as Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This passage makes clear that as long as we never compromise our Christian principles, we can have friends outside of our circles as well. We can be an example of what it means to be a friend to others, to help them when they're under attack. We can, indeed, we must be a friend to our neighbor when they need our help. And so, don't shun those with whom you come into contact. Show them that you're a Christian. Show the love of Christ, for we are all needful and vulnerable human beings. As I said, we are under attack all the time. Not just physically, but spiritually. The devil is always out to have you go on the wrong path. And he uses evil and wicked people in order to have you led astray. And then you need a righteous and loving friend who can bring you back to the right path. You need your friends to defend you against the attack of the devil. When you are going down a lonely road and you're turning to alcohol or to other addictive behaviors, then a good friend will help to turn you around. Then your good friend will say to you, brother or sister, you're going the wrong way. And if you have no friends to steer you in the right way again, then you're much more likely to continue down the wrong path. Paul says in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We need others as we travel the road of life. We need each other also in order to keep warm. And that brings us to our third point. We don't have the kind of traveling conditions today that people had to endure during biblical times. Except for the odd pothole in the road, we don't have that many hazards to deal with. We have warm cars to travel in, keep out the cold and the wind and the rain and the snow. And if we have to travel long distances, then a good warm hotel is pretty easy to find. That was much different in the teachers' days. If you wanted to go any significant distance, then you had to travel overnight. And then you would have to find shelter during the night. It was hard to keep warm under those conditions. And so if you traveled with a good friend, then it would be good to have a warm body around. Although this text does not, first of all, refer to married couples, they are certainly included. Your partner ought to be your best friend. And when your partner is your best friend, then it's good to have him or her around to keep you warm when you go to bed. It's great to be able to snuggle together. But we all need each other for a different kind of warmth as well. We all know what we mean when we talk about a warm person. We are drawn to such a person. It has nothing to do with looks, shape, size, or age. Such a person attracts us because he or she, in one way or another, radiates the fact that they are sympathetic to you, open, ready to listen to you, to help you, and to speak kind words. When someone sincerely compliments you, it makes you feel warm. Like we are appreciated. And we like to be appreciated. Sometimes a church is referred to as being a cold place. I've heard some people that will say that about the Reformed churches as well. We're not always as inviting as we can be. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, think about how we can change that. But begin with yourself. Rather than looking at other people, look at yourself. What can you do to make this church a warmer place? Are you the critical person? Do you come up with biting, sarcastic remarks right after the worship service to the elder or to the minister or to other members of the church? Or do you leave right away in a hurry as if someone were chasing you? Or do you stand around in circles with your friends, oblivious to everybody else, including the strangers that come into church? How do you receive those who are new in church? Are you interested in other people's lives? Do you make visits and phone calls to those who are lonely? Or do you leave that up to the minister and the elders? Do you share other people's sorrows and their joys? Or talk about your own concerns? There is a saying, shared joy is double joy. Shared sorrow is half the sorrow. By God's grace, in spite of criticism, many of our churches are warm places. I hear a lot of people saying that. That doesn't mean that we can't improve. There are lots of people who do not radiate the warmth to others that they should. They are waiting for others to do it for them or to do it to them. And then they complain about the church being a cold place. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, we need to keep each other warm. And you do that by making yourself a warm and attractive person. You begin with yourself. Making friends and keeping friends is hard work. There's often a cost that's involved. The Lord Jesus made you his friend. He paid the cost. He paid for your friendship with his precious blood. Are you willing to pay the cost of friendship? What are you willing to sacrifice? The Lord Jesus gained everything back that he had with his Father before he emptied himself of the glory and the majesty that he had. The world became his footstool, and now he is rich beyond measure. And he made you and me very rich as well. Are you willing to share your riches and pay the cost of your friendship with the Lord your God, and with your friends? The fulfillment of the law is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep that commandment, you'll never be lonely. You will always have friends. And the greatest friend that you have and that you ever will have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the most wonderful friend that anyone can have. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you after having heard your word. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may work this in our lives. Help us rejoice that we are together, that we are built up by one another. Lord, you have so richly blessed us with the wisdom of the Bible. Help us to follow this in all that we do. Bless us as we support one another, as husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, members of the congregation, Lord, and to our neighbors around us. Lord, help us to overcome our differences, and to see that we all share in our faith in you. And that is what is most important thing and overcomes all boundaries. Let us be humble as well, Lord, realizing our sins and weaknesses, and also realizing the grace that we have received in Christ, and to share that with others. What a friend we have in Jesus, who bears all our hopes and cares. Lord, help us to be welcoming and loving to our neighbors. Let us radiate the hope and faith that we have. Lord, we are built up through your word and are made to be lights to the world in our relationships. Help us to shine brightly, that others may see your goodness and come to love you through your humble servants. Bless us as a congregation. Let us strive together and love one another, even though we might have our differences. Lord, we pray these things through Christ, our head, our friend, and our Savior. Amen.